Moncrief on News Talk.
The earth might be slowly boiling before our eyes, but Barbara and Declan are here to solve...
To laugh at in its
your
face.
Your far more important questions. Here's the first one. I recently started dating a woman I met on Tinder. We've been getting on great, and she's even introduced me to her friends. However, there was one thing that I'm struggling with. Her and her friends keep calling me a hot rodent man. They seem to mean this as a compliment. At first, I was baffled by all this, and then I realised it was part of a much larger trend online. But the trouble is, I find it really offensive being compared to a rat. I've been struggling with it so much, I've even asked my mam about it, and she's been assuring me that I don't look like a rat. I am reluctant to bring it up with my new girlfriend because, to be honest, she's really hot and I don't want to mess it up. What should I do? What the hell is that?
Yeah, I know.
Instantly Googling hot rodent man.
Well,
what
see,
does that mean?
This is the
is
problem.
That a thing?
Yeah, this
yes.
is the problem with doing this lot is that I've often thought if I drop dead on a Friday,
you're going to learn something.
Somebody's going to go back into my search history. They're going to go, what the hell was she at?
Yeah.
Because, yes, I did Google this. But before I say that, I just love the innocence of this because recently we had to call out a rodent man to deal with a very terrifying situation in our bathroom.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
rats.
Like, and I would have.
Rat in the toilet.
In the toilet bowl.
You'd never go to that toilet again.
Oh, it's great for your pelvic floor. You'd wake up in the middle of the night. I need to pee. And then you go, oh, no, I actually don't.
Yeah.
I'm grat. Yeah. Not at night time. But the rodent man arrived. And honestly, everybody in the house was losing their minds. And this cool, calm, collected individual arrived. I would have married him on the spot.
Okay.
Regardless.
You thought this was what a hot rodent man.
I thought that's what a hot rodent
okay,
man.
Okay, I get where you're okay. going.
If you have a rodent issue, the rodent man who comes and sorts it out becomes very hot. But anyway, no, I did have to Google this and it is a thing. But all I can say is, apparently it is a kind of a compliment. Do you know, it's like a... Barry Keoghan, apparently
so, yeah.
Is a hot rodent man.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a compliment. So I take the compliment. It means you've
what they're really saying, though, is it's about aesthetics. It's like saying that, you know, we find this person hot. It's kind of a backhanded compliment. Because basically what you're saying is, I don't know why we find this person attractive, but they are attractive. And they're attractive in a kind of a sexy rat kind of a way. And you go, you know, that should be a kind of a clash of ideas, really. But they're making it work for Timothy Chalamet.
And believe me, I have thought about this an awful lot in the last few weeks. It's only our perception of rats that is negative. Apparently, they're very cute.
Animals
are very intelligent and who form bonds and all the rest of it. But we have been, I was going to say acclimatized. What's the word I'm looking for? Like we've been brainwashed
into thinking they're evil.
That they're evil and they're awful and they're everything else.
Because of the Black Death and the plague. And
yes, exactly. Yeah.
And
you don't want them living in your
people.
Bathroom or in your toilet. But at the same time, you know, maybe it's just our perception of things. I think he's overthinking this. Like it'd be worse if they called him, you know, an ugly pig. Although pigs are meant to be lovely.
No, they are. They're very intelligent.
Yeah. So, you know, he's overthinking
unless
it.
You read Animal Farm, in which case they're capitalist
I never
pigs.
Read that, yeah. It's one of those gaps in my education.
But isn't it a bit... Would he have grounds to be a bit worried in that hot rodent man apparently is like it's a... internet thing and it'll go out of fashion in the next 6 weeks probably and be replaced by hot marsupial man or whatever and then you know
kangaroo.
He'll be old news.
I don't think that the girlfriend is going out with him because he is an internet meme. I think what's happened is that they've met. They're going out together and she and her girlfriends are talking about whatever the latest thing online is. It's, this is on TikTok. Isn't this funny? That's like your Brian. And then next thing you know, as a joke, he's being called hot rodent man because it's topical. But once, as you say, the topical part of it disappears, he'll still be there with his like rodent-like features.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, there's something weird about the whole thing as well. It's, you know, the people that they're referring to, basically what they are kind of...
not conventionally
good-looking people who happen to have the trappings of fame, wealth and the beauty industry
behind them,
shaving them and primping them and turning them from their kind of slightly weaselly hairy face
and
into
being... And he's managing to do it all by his own self. So I think that's a double compliment.
He doesn't have the beauty industry behind him. So maybe he's
I think he's overthinking it. I think, you know, it is meant as a compliment. It's a slightly sideways, backhanded one, but that's fine.
But isn't it a bit like saying, if Barry Keoghan wasn't a rich and famous actor and you just looked at him on the street, you'd say, God, look at the state of your
Which
man.
I did loads of times.
That it's really, the added ingredient is the fame and the wealth, and that that's kind of rubbing off on our correspondent there. But when, it, when you know, when it, that this meme goes out of fashion and she's just looking at him in the cold light of day at his ugly rat face, then
she'd be like,
why to be sorry,
she'd be
kid,
going,
it's
I
now.
Want a man in finance, blue eyes, yeah. 6'5".
Yeah.
That's another meme, Barbara. Look it up.
A man in finance.
A man in finance.
That's a meme.
Yeah.
Okay.
6'5", blue eyes, the trust fund.
Sometimes I get very tired doing this.
Could you call a woman a hot rat? Are there any hot rat lady celebrities out there?
In Disney lady movies, yes.
Who?
In Disney movies. In American Tale. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, oh, that's true. Yeah, but no, but animations. You know, but many people are tasting in to say you couldn't say, you know, you couldn't say hot rat woman.
Yeah, see, that's what one of the parts of that that's problematic about it is that it is kind of, it's creating these categories of people and creating labels and putting them in boxes. And generally, I'm not down with that kind of stuff. I think it's not good. We wouldn't do it to women, even though possibly before...
You would have been,
you know, blonde bimbo. You would
have
been,
that's what I was going to say.
You know,
yeah,
you would be Jane from Neighbours with the glasses, yeah. The nerdy, whatever. That's basically what that is. It's a categorisation of going, you know, not conventionally attractive.
But he is kind of overthinking it. Like, nobody's, you know, like...
Men don't like to be given the female gaze, you know, in that way. God. I don't mean lesbians. I mean the gaze of the female.
Yeah.
And then, yeah,
so it'll pass then. If he just keeps storm, he'll... But you see, the thing is, they'll, even if this is a long-term relationship, that group of friends will always think of him as
hot,
rodent man.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Do you know, I could think of things, worse things he could be.
You know, the Barbara Streisand effect is if you kind of, you react badly to something that you want to go away, you can end up making it a bigger deal than it is. So my advice to this guy would be to,
just,
you know,
relax.
It's not, it could be way worse.
Could be.
They could be talking about other things about you.
Yes.
You know, and they're talking about that, and that's, it is, even
and
if it is
backhanded. And focus on the hot rather than the rodent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your man in Bear is considered a hot rodent.
What's Bear?
Jeremy Allen White. It's very good. It's a series on Netflix.
Oh, about, is it because I've nothing to watch at the minute?
Oh, no, you should go back because the third series is about to drop in the next 2 weeks. Go back and watch Bear.
Bear?
Yeah.
Is it very violent or anything?
No, it's like... about people running a restaurant.
Oh, great. Oh,
it will make you super anxious, though, when you're watching it because it's so anxiety-provoking. Getting all the food ready, which sounds like a very trivial thing, but it's...
But it's a drama. It's not
it's
a documentary.
Yeah, it's a drama.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
like
thank you very
award-winning.
Much.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
You love it. You
good.
Love it.
Yeah, because Bridgerton, I fell asleep during Bridgerton.
I know.
Well, I think the one where she gets the ride hasn't dropped yet. So that's next week.
Well, they were on the way. Like,
or today. It's today.
Oh,
today
that's what we're waiting for.
Today is Righty Bridgerton Day.
Righty Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right.
This is way more controversial. I live in a housing estate. In front of each of the gardens, there's a strip of grass that spans across three houses. I've been living in my estate for 15 years. And for all that time, I've not only cut the patch in front of my house, but the patch in front of the neighbour's house too.
Mm.
They never asked, but I did it to keep the estate looking nice. Recently, I returned from holidays to find the strip of grass not cut, but despite my neighbour having a perfect manicured lawn himself, the strip of grass is about 5 feet in front of his house. It would have taken him about 10 minutes to cut. I'm so angry, I'm thinking of staging a protest. Is it petty if I only cut the strip as far as the boundary wall and leave the grass on his side? I know it will anger me, but I'm hoping the point will land with him that I don't mind dividing the cutting, but I'm no longer willing to do it all the time.
Oh, like the
this is the stuff that drives people. No, but I'm telling you, this is serial killer stuff.
It drives people out of the suburbs into, you know, whatever. Look, I get it that, you know, you've been doing something for a long time and you feel that the contribution you've been making towards, you know, the aesthetics of the estate hasn't been either acknowledged or reciprocated when you're on a much needed break to wherever you went on your holidays. But the problem is that if you don't actually come out and say that this is what's going on to your neighbours, if you haven't actually said, I'm doing this, I don't mind doing this, if it's not been verbalised, then it's not going to get reciprocated because they just think that you're managing it yourself. But they probably don't care.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this isn't a problem.
Like, no, that's what I'm saying. It's a problem for him. He's there going, I'm out doing this because I want the estate to look the way that I would like it to
be. This is the biggest thing that's ever going to annoy him for the rest of his days. I mean, seriously, nobody asked him to take on this duty of cutting not only his own verge, but the other two neighbours' verges as well. Mm. He did it all off his own bat. And he's been doing it for 15 years because obviously it makes him happy when he drives down the road and everything's neat and tidy and organised. And I bet you he gets out with one of those yokes and does all the edges as well and takes up any stray dandelions that might be coming up.
And does he get any thanks for this community contribution?
But there is, I mean, besides the fact that some people just don't care anyway, number two is there is a whole movement now towards rewilding and not being so kind of neat and tidy about your gardens. So, you know, it's quite possible that the neighbours weren't that impressed with him cutting all the daisies and the dandelions down, you know, at the drop of a hat every other week. So, you know,
That's
continue
kind of
to cut your own patch and worry about your own patch.
It's about like,
and
the metaphor
the rest
of this as well, isn't it? It's about how people see the world and they think that they automatically come from the space that their worldview is correct because that's the way it was when I was a child or whatever. And that means you're automatically wrong because you think differently from me. But you pointed out, and I'm reading a book by Olivia Lang at the moment, which is all about gardens and about how our perspective on nature is so timely and... But it's been completely warped by various political and commercial interests and all that kind of stuff. But one of the things about, it's about the garden, about lawns, the idea of lawns is actually kind of, when you think about it, and this is not the point she made, but I thought about this yesterday, making one thing all the same, letting one species populate one big vast amount of space in a land is kind of like, it's very kind of white supremacist in
but
this
also
way,
keeping it all like, you know, really, really
and
short really, and really
and
neat and tidy
else,
and all the edges have to be
good.
All sorted and all the
oh
rest
of it. Oh my God, so this guy's a white supremacist?
He's a white supremacist.
Oh, where did you vote in the elections, pal?
But the other thing that's interesting is in the suburbs where you have situations like this in a housing estate where you have the verges outside, people get really exercised about their ownership of that, even though they don't own it anyway.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
There should be a local authority cutting this anyway.
I don't think they
don't
do it anymore.
No, I think they were kind of. It's up to you.
But they were damaging
But the areas,
stuff,
certainly out where I am, there are areas of that I can think of where there's, you know, not, I'm not talking about a green field or a green space, but like wider vergy bits. And the council will deliberately just mow a little path through it, but leave the rest of it, which is great. And that's much better for the environment. So your man's very old fashioned. He'd want to catch up with the rest of us.
Now,
leave it alone.
All that being absolutely true. But it's him and his neighbour, and him and his neighbour are obviously exactly the same. The neighbour has a front garden that's manicured to within an inch of its life.
Yes.
So he's as anal or white supremacist about his front garden as they are each other. It's just that the neighbour is going, I'm letting you do it.
Or he's not. Because it's like, I think about it like, you know, I'm thinking about my parents who are older and they have a lovely neighbour next door who comes in and he comes out and he does that verge that's in front of their houses, you know, the semi-detached verge. And he does it for them and they're delighted. And sometimes he even comes in and does the front garden for them, a small little plot of grass in the front of their house. And that's amazing. It's very neighbourly. But my dad or my mum are in their 80s. They wouldn't be able to reciprocate in that way. So there might be a time and a situation when the reciprocation isn't possible. But there's also a time, you know, and I'm not speaking of my parents' neighbours here, but when somebody does take over that job and they take over that role and...
I think I just need to say as well that we have lovely neighbours who cut our verge.
We're not white supremacists.
And they're not white supremacists and they do cut our verge because we can't get our lawnmower out to the front because it's too old and so it wouldn't get done at all. And
what do you mean it's too old? Like it'd die if you...
No, we've a huge, big, heavy petrol... stupid lawnmower that we inherited from somebody and it's just too big. The only grass in front of our house is this tiny verge anyway, so it's not worth bringing it out. I know we've lovely neighbours, they're really nice neighbours
fabulous
and it's
grass lovers.
I live in a new estate, says a texter. My neighbours and I all moved in 3 years ago. Since then I've cut the grass outside our houses. I liked doing it, but recently my neighbour took over and it's annoyed me. Was I not doing a good enough job?
God
Plus,
almighty.
He doesn't strim around the tree, nor does he edge it properly. I had hoped to cut it myself last week, but he got out there before me again. So is it petty if I go out after him and fix it so it's done the right way?
Probably a little bit.
Leave the strip grass long. Get a grip. Don't worry about it. They don't. Let the grass grow for the birds and the bees. Somebody else has a saying, never do something if you feel you have to get thanks for it.
Yes.
Only do something if you want to do it yourself. And somebody else says, am I missing something? Why are you assuming the grass cutter is a man?
And we weren't.
Because the chances are 117% that it is.
Exactly.
That's absolutely why it is. So go for you know, some sort of therapy about this need to control everything. Perhaps,
look,
you know,
just cut your own grass. Just you do you and leave everybody else do them. And then you won't be upset. You won't be feeling
that
you're...
No, he will. He'll be looking out at that verge going, it's not cut.
Oh, for God's sake, go and read a book or something.
But they need to say something. Why don't you just say something?
Oh, don't say something. That's going to be a
one meeting.
Don't say something. You're going to make yourself like such an idiot. Don't say something.
Is it not already kind of like in the petty zone anyway?
It is in the petty zone, but shut your mouth and just look after your own bit and don't be looking for trouble where there shouldn't be any trouble.
But it's not looking for trouble to say, do you want me to cut your verge? I'm thinking of, dialing back in the amount of...
He won't
moan.
Be able to say that without putting in some kind of zinger at the end of that sentence, which says, I've been doing it for so long and you've never once said thank you.
Yeah.
No. Don't go there.
I cut nearly an acre of common grass in our estate recently. One of my neighbours anonymously left a voucher for 120 quid in my letterbox.
Jeez,
I think everyone
live?
Thinks I'm paid, but I do it for exercise.
Oh my God, where's he live? 120 an acre dropped
him. Yeah, that was nice.
Good enough.
Now it was a fair amount, nearly an acre. You are totally wrong with that answer. It's not fair that some people end up cleaning the area. People are lazy.
Did we talk about cleaning? You see, this is not
it's
about
not
cleaning.
The same as dog that,
yeah, I know.
See, this is the
that's,
problem.
That's the interesting thing, actually, because mowing a lawn is really a form of outdoor hoovering.
Yes.
In a human mind.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
But it's not beneficial to the environment or to biodiversity. So it's not cleaning. So that's different. If you're going around throwing all your rubbish everywhere,
or dog poo or litter or that kind
I'm
of
all
stuff,
about that.
That's all completely. Different
it's
scenario.
A different thing.
Yeah. I mowed the verge in front of our house last week and did the neighbours as well. Half an hour later, my neighbour came out and did the two verges again.
Okay.
I was washing my windows and watching him do it. I seriously don't know what to think about that.
You obviously didn't do it right.
Somebody has a solution, obvious solution, they say. Just cut the shape of a giant Mickey into his garden neighbour's verge and leave it at that. Yes, that'll sort
them. That'll sort it out for sure.
My husband is about to turn 70. And recently revealed to me that all he wants as a gift is a fantasy he has harboured for decades to become a member of what he describes as the Mile High Club. Once he explained to me what this is, I immediately vetoed it. I have occasional arthritis and I just know I would struggle to manage in such a tight space. So he is suggesting a compromise, the Sea Level Club. He wants to book the ferry to Fishguard for next November. My concern is that this new idea, while providing more opportunity for space, might lack a sense of romance for me, never mind my apprehension about seasickness. How do I help him achieve this fantasy while ensuring a safe experience and one that won't end up being a romantic disappointment?
Holy God. Do you know what? It's
do they have cabins? I assume they do.
They do, yeah. They do.
I think he
cabins.
Wants to do it in a public toilet. I think that's the whole thing.
Was that the whole thing?
I think that's the whole thing. But, like, number one, okay, there's a few things
what?
Here. No, yeah, I think, because the Mile High Club is in the toilet. Of the airplane, right?
Yeah.
Now, number one, I would say with the current with climate crisis that we were talking about before we came on air, and with turbulence apparently is going to become more common.
Yes,
you wouldn't want to be running around and spending any more time than is absolutely necessary in the toilet of
without
an airplane. That's number one. Yeah.
Now that's I can one. If it depends how much money they have, but I did interview a chap a few weeks ago. They actually offer it as a service in Las Vegas. Where you
sorry what
they offer it as a service?
They offer what as a service?
The Mile High Club. That a private plane with a bed in it.
Oh, that's that's fine.
Red satin sheets, class with a capital K. Up you
lovely.
Go. They give you an hour. There's only it's only kind of a there's no door or anything though. He's got an old kind of curtain there between.
Do you
him
know
and
what?
The,
some
the
of the first class
pilot.
Cabins.
Oh, God.
Some of the first class things.
And next thing you know, there's images on the dark web. And you and your.
But some of the first class cabins in some of the like long haul airlines now have like little cabooshes.
Little
do you know
pods,
little pods? So that would be very comfortable. I don't think that's what he's talking about. And going on the Irish Sea in November. Do you know, that's like definite seasickness. The last thing you'd want to be doing would be more jumping around. Well, there'll be enough jumping around, I'd say, when you're on the plane. But I think he wants to have it in a toilet. So go to a public park or somewhere and knock yourselves out in the toilet where you're not going to have any turbulence or anything like that.
Almighty.
But better still, just book a hotel and go to the hotel room and do it nicely at your age.
What about a car? They could park the car. I think
You could do yourself a ferocious injury as well, depending on what size they are.
Yeah.
But like, you could do yourself a ferocious... What are you grinning at?
I'm just saying I think they should go on a train. It should be like, go on the Orient Express, get a nice bloody berth.
That's again
going to
be as pricey. Well, that's nice. Yeah. That's very pricey, lads. Have you looked at the price of the Orient Express?
Yeah. Is her love not... She's 70...
That doesn't mean she's loads of feckin' money to be spending doing that kind of stuff.
He wants it. He has to make it happen.
The Orient Express would be lovely, but that would be the only one that I would possibly consider.
And again, you know, if you're going to go on a ferry or a boat or a ship, you know, not in November. Go somewhere in the summertime. Go in the Mediterranean. Go on a nice
cruise. A little boat maybe on the Shannon or something.
But yeah, that'd be grand.
You know, a little boat on the Shannon and off you go and you can knock yourselves out.
Kind of stable.
Yeah.
So you think it's because he wants to be in a bathroom. I think it's a certain amount of exhibitionism.
Yeah, but
that's
if he was on a boat, like a rowboat or something. Paddle it actually to the middle of the lake.
Barbara, I think that's illegal.
What? I mean, having sex in a rowboat?
Yeah, in public.
It's not illegal.
No, but then, went to jail.
If you paddled it into the middle of a crowd.
Well, it's for indecent exposure, I suppose, is what they can get
indecent,
you on.
What's indecent about it?
Yeah.
The setting.
But I mean, if you weren't paddling into a middle of a load of people, like, sure, people wouldn't necessarily know.
I think the concept of exhibitionism made...
Maybe he wants a bit of danger.
That'd be enough danger. You could end up in the lake.
Yeah.
If you weren't careful.
Or you could
drown. There's no exhibition to being in the Mile High Club because you're in the toilet, except the people will see the two of you going into the one toilet.
And coming out.
Yeah.
So maybe they're in life.
And at their age, it'll take them ages to get in and out of the toilet as well.
That's true. Yeah.
I need to help him now. He's very unsteady on his feet.
That's an advantage.
The toilets are massive and you go into the aisle exit.
Yeah. And if she got a high-vis vest, they just think she was his carer.
Oh my God. Anya wants to know, has she checked his life insurance? Would he settle for sex in a portaloo on the back of a moving flatbed truck? That sounds like an offer. That sounds like this person can sort it out.
That's somebody coming back from Electric Picnic.
Yes. Sounds like the husband just wants sex. When she refuses the C-level club, his next request will be the M50 club or the Lewis club. Buy a VR headset. I'm sure there's a Mile High program or flight simulator at least.
Oh, that's a good idea.
To do on his own.
What?
On his own.
Can the two of you not have headsets?
You can't see all the other things you need to be able to see to make the whole thing work, you know.
And at 70, I think, a little bit of precision would be like... Hard to, that's not a good idea. That's
maybe
dangerous.
A camper van.
Yeah.
Get a camper
that'd be
van.
Good. Yeah, and but you'd have to park it up.
They'll have to park it up, but it'll rattle about around. Yeah. You could, like, you know, we could let on.
Yeah. I think where they should go on holiday somewhere, like, you know.
Or go dogging. That'd be the thing. If he wants the exhibitionism thing, up Cliny Hill with them. Isn't that where they do it? I don't know.
Allegedly.
I don't know.
But isn't the whole jogging thing you do it in a car and then other people are looking in the window
at you?
But
is that what he wants? If he wants exhibitionism, isn't that it? Like, what are you laughing at? Have I said the wrong thing again?
No, I'm just laughing at the idea of like two 70-year-olds kind of like being a show.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's great. You know, age power. Yay, go, Barbara.
Yeah. At the same time. You know, it could take a while, you know. People would be knocking on the window saying, can you move it along, please?
You like the Netflix message that comes up. Are you still watching? Are you still watching?
Barbara Decker, we have to leave it there. Thank you very, very much.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.